Muchas gracias, misionero Miguel Lemuel de Marín. Que Dios te siga bendiciendo grandemente en este tiempo.
Thank you very much, missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín. May God continue to bless you greatly at this end time. And to everyone here present, and for everyone connected through the satellite Amazonas and the satellite Eutelsat 8 in different countries. Today, Sunday, October 12th, Sunday, October 19th of this year, 2025. It is truly a very great blessing to be able to be with all of you here on this occasion and grateful to God for one more day of life, of health, and to stand before the Son of Man. On this occasion, our subject is the only light of the last day, preached Saturday, July 28th of 2001 in Villahermosa, Tabasco, Mexico. Let us search in the sacred scriptures in Malachi chapter 4. Verse 1, where it tells us, "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that he shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall." There on the left side, he writes, redemption, transformation. "And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." And in Zephaniah, which is before Zechariah, before Haggai, there is Zephaniah. Malachi, then backward is Zechariah, then Haggai, and then Zephaniah. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 14, look, it says, "The great day of the Lord is near, it is near and hasteth greatly, even the voice of the day of the Lord. The mighty men shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wastelessness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against defensed cities, and against the high towers. There he writes, on the right towers. And I will bring distress upon men, that they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord. And there he also writes on the right, because of sin. And their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as the dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. For he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. The only light of the last day. You may please be seated. He tells us in the message, there is a man here that can turn on the light. There's a man here who can turn on the light on page 13. The Reverend William Branham says, now great light, the Gentiles who sat in the region of the shadows of death, great light sprang up among them. In Zabulon and Naphtalim. In other words, the land of Zabulon and Naphtalim, meaning the Naphtalites. By the way of Galilee of the Gentiles, great light, they saw a great light. Now light, the first time light, we find it in the Bible, is found in Genesis 1:3. It was God's spoken word made the light. God said, let there be light, Genesis 1:3, and there was light. Now remember, then light comes by the spoken word of God. And light is the vindication, or the subject that he has spoken is light. When the light flies, shows that God said, let there be light. There was no light, and he said, let there be light, and there was light. That's a proof. The light is a vindication of his spoken word. Same thing today, a vindication of his spoken word. And there on the left upward he writes, the light of his spoken word equals the word made flesh. The light of his spoken word equals the word made flesh. Now, when you see his word being vindicated, or other words made known, proved, that is the light of his spoken word. And without light, nothing can live without light. There is no life upon the earth today that but what has to come by the light of the sun in a botany life and so forth. And there is no eternal life outside of the Son of God, see? He is the light. And let us turn to page 13 as well, on the same message, where he tells us, oh, how we appreciate these great things, how that the word being vindicated is the light of the spoken word, see? God said, let there be light. Now, what if he just said it and no light come? Then we don't know whether it's true or not. We don't know whether he is all right. We don't know whether he is God or not. Because he just said, let there be. And there wasn't, see? So then, when God speaks and we see it is, then that's the light that shines forth the truth of the word. See, there is light and life. And there on the left he writes, the vindicated word made a reality. is the light of the spoken word. That is the truth of the word. The word fulfilled. The vindicated word made a reality is the light of the spoken word. That is the truth of the word. The word fulfilled. That is how it is in each age and in each dispensation. Notice in the book of the ages, on page 241, here in Spanish it's 267. It says, ages, it says, according to Revelation 22:16 and in Peter 1:19, Jesus is the morning star. The Spirit is therefore making a promise to the elect of the dark ages relative to himself and then in the ages to come. There he draws a cornerstone and an arrow towards the cornerstone. And he writes, the morning star. As we have already stated, Jesus identifies himself with the messenger of each age. And he writes, the eight messengers. They receive from him the revelation of the word for each period. This word revelation brings the elect of God out of the world and into full union with Jesus Christ. These messengers are called stars because they shine with a borrowed or reflected light of the sun, even Jesus. They are also called stars because they are holders of light at night. Thus, in darkness of sin, they bring the light of God to his people. There he draws a Star of David and a cornerstone in the ages on the right. And on top he writes, the word revelation brings the elect out. That is, in the margin. This is the dark ages. It is specially dark, for the word of the Lord is almost entirely hidden from the people. Knowledge of the Most High has almost ceased. Death has overcome vast numbers of the believers until their ranks are decimated. The things of God are at the lowest ebb to this date, and it seemed that Satan would surely conquer God's people. If ever a people needed a promise embracing the land where there is no night, and he writes age on top of land, and that is the age of the cornerstone. It was the people of the dark ages, and that is why the Spirit is promising them the morning star. He is telling them that the chief star, even Jesus, who dwelleth in the light unto which no man can approach, will in the future kingdom illuminate them by his own personal presence. He will not be using the stars, messengers, to give light in darkness any longer. It will be Jesus himself, and Jesus himself encircles it, speaking to them face to face as he shares his kingdom with them. There on the left, towards the top, he writes face to face. It is the morning star. And on top of morning, he writes, Moses. It is the morning star that is visible when the light of the sun commences to shine. When our Son, Jesus, comes, there will be no further need of messengers. He will bring us his message of cheer himself, and as he rules his kingdom, and he writes, he shepherds his age. Above that, he shepherds his age. And as he rules his kingdom, and the kingdom is the church, and we live in his presence, the light of the word becomes brighter and brighter in our perfect day. And he writes there, eighth day. And he draws a cornerstone and the ages and a number 8 inside. What else could we desire above Jesus himself? Is he not everything, even perfect everything? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Amen. Even so, Lord God, by thy Spirit, let us hear thy truth. Now on the same message that we are reading on page 34, there's a man here who can turn on the light. There he tells us, speaking to us about Moses, and then he speaks to us about Elijah. Look, he says, Moses was the light of his hour. I'll surely visit you, God said to Abraham. There he writes, Moses dash the light. I'll come down and I'll take out my people with a strong hand, and I'll show my power in Egypt. Now, he says, I will deliver them, and notice, when you look at the history, well, you see a man doing the work, because God always works through his instruments, his prophets. The human beings are his agents. In other words, that's the way God works on this planet Earth, through human beings. And when Moses up there met that burning bush up there and found out that I Am was in that bush, Moses went down there, and he was the light. Amen. No wonder he could take some dust and blow it up and say, let there come fleas upon the earth. He had the word of God. What happened? The dust began to blow, and the fleas began to come into existence. Hallelujah. Why? He was a manifestation of the light of God's word. And he writes, Moses on the right. I'll plague Egypt. He was a prophet. What he said come to pass. He was the light of that day. He was God's light. Pharaoh might have had everything he wanted to have. And the rest of them. All the priests had what they wanted. But Moses was the light. Why? He was showing forth God's word manifesting. God promised, I'll bring them out under a strong hand, and I'll get myself glory. That's what he was doing. That's the reason Moses proved that he could create. Not because he wanted to create, because God told him to. And with that, go to the congregation, say, tomorrow, the Lord God has just spoke to me. Take a handful of dust and throw it up in a sky like this, and call for it. There is none here, but it will be there. Amen. Oh, I hope you're not asleep. I hope you're not asleep. Oh, manifestation, he said, I am sent. God did say to our fathers, surely he would visit us down here and take us out. I've come to prove to you that the hour is at hand. Get rid of what you got. Let's go. Yes. Some of them said, well, I believe, Dathan said, I don't think there is any hurry. We shouldn't be all excited about this. And look like it failed 4 or 5 times. But just the same, it moved on. They thought. They come out and said, we'll stone this Moses. Get him away from us. We don't want him in our group here. Moses just moved right on, anyhow, because he was the life. He was the light of the hour. What he had, what was it? God manifesting his promised word through Moses, and Moses was the light. Elijah was the light. There he writes, Elijah was the light. Go out there and sit on that hill. I'll command it, the ravens to feed you. Amen. Yes, sir. He'll come back down with thus saith the Lord. Not even dew will fall from heaven till I call for it. Amen. Sun might shine. You might call for all the clouds and do anything you want to. But not even dew will come till I call for it. What was he? The light. Hallelujah. He was the light. The light? He was the word of God made manifest. And above he writes, flesh. They thought he was crazy, sitting up there. He had porters feeding him, and they starving to death. They wanted to live in their traditions. Go ahead. Not Moses. or not Elijah. He was living right in the light, sitting up there by the brook, Cherith, and just having a good time, having meals and somebody to take care of him and everything. They felt he was crazy, but he was the light. There he writes, Elijah equals was the light of God. Now that ministry of Elijah and Moses, notice that is repeated again, because the sixth seal is the one that has those ministries have power over nature. Notice those ministries are repeated again. Now notice on this message, depending on God alone, which was preached by Dr. William Soto on November 6, 2002, in Santa Cruz, Bolivia. He tells us, today, there is the second round of elections there in Bolivia. May God guide the people to make a good decision and not allow someone from the left to take a hold again. Instead, may it be someone who works in favor of the people, and whoever is elected by the people, may God use him for the benefit of the people. We also want Bolivia to be free, just as we want that for Haiti, Nicaragua, Cuba, and Venezuela. We want them to be free. Now, he says, Dr. William Soto says, now we find that at this end time, just as there was a struggle in other times, there is a struggle at this end time, which will grow more and more each day. A struggle between the two kingdoms, between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the wicked one, the kingdom of darkness. And that struggle will be reflected in the midst of the human race. Notice there is a writing that he left us on a piece of paper where he wrote, the darkest hour announces that the light comes after it. And he writes Christ on top. That the light comes after it, shining upon the darkness. That is the condition of mankind today. The darkest hour announces that the light comes after it. He writes Christ, shining upon the darkness. That is the condition of the mankind today. Dr. William Soto goes on to say, the wicked one will have his kingdom materialized in the Antichrist and the kingdom of the Antichrist, but Christ will have his kingdom materialized in his church. See how simple it is? Therefore, there will be a stage of squeeze, of which the Reverend William Branham speaks, that there will be a squeeze, but he says, when the squeeze comes down, don't get scared, don't be afraid. What words of encouragement and strength. When the squeeze comes down, don't get scared, don't be afraid. Let us see on page 119, he quotes it there on the book of quotations, page 119, paragraph 1054, of which it is an excerpt that is included in the book of quotations from the message I'm reading of There is a Man Here That Can Turn on the Light. Page 119. And on the message is page 59, so you can have it also there. And notice, he quotes that portion there of the book of quotations, only the part that is there, on paragraph 1054. When this persecution comes, don't get scared. There is a light, said he would catch his people away. She'll not go through the tribulation. She'll never do it. He said she wouldn't. She'll be caught away. There, in the book of quotations, he writes the squeeze. He wrote above. And he writes, a light will rapture the elect. Equals Christ in his coming. The light of the seventh millennium. On the left, he draws a cornerstone and rays of light. Now notice, in this message, which is where the portion is, just before that, Brother Branham was saying, there is a man here that can turn on the lights, and there he draws a small cornerstone, the arrow and rays of light. Those who sit in the region of the shadows of death, some of them under cancer, some of them under the death of denomination, some of them under creed's death, some of them under traditional death, and all them kinds of death. And he writes on the left, shadows of death. And on the right, he writes, denominational death. And they have seen a great light. The man that flashed the light then is the same one who said in the beginning, let there be light. That same God, yesterday, today, and forever. He is present today, right here now. Don't get scared. He can turn on the lights when the persecution comes. And there he draws a star. And there he writes Revelation 10, 1 to 6, which is the coming of the mighty angel. And now, he continues with the portion that is in the book of quotations. When the persecution comes, don't get scared. There is a light. And he writes above, Revelation 10, 1 to 6. There is a light. Said he would catch his people away. She'll not go through the tribulation. She'll never do it. He said she wouldn't. She'll be caught away. How are they going to do it, Brother Branham? Looks awful dark. No matter how dark it gets, you can't see your hand before you. Just remember, there is a man, and he writes Elijah, here that can turn on the light. He'll rapture that church. And he writes rapture. When it gets so dark that you can't even see your own hand because of all the things that are facing in your life, don't worry. There is a man in the midst of the church who has turned on the light. Now, Dr. William Soto goes on to say here, therefore, the light of the last day in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the age of the cornerstone, is the light that will take the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. On page 58 on the book of quotations. Paragraph 507, it says, I believe that we still have great light coming on now. Above that, he writes, Moses, coming on now, thou'll just flood the earth one of these days for a short period, maybe just in a matter of months. But I believe that there is a great light coming. And above the paragraph, he writes, a great light is coming equals the second coming. A great light is coming equals the second coming. And in the message, the intervale, or rather, why are people so tossed about? He tells us on page 23, look, he says, well, he comes into the court. Now, what is in there? There is seven golden candlesticks by the holy place, and it's giving light. The candlesticks are giving light. There he writes, the holy place with the seven candlesticks on the lampstand. That's to the man who quits his drinking, quits his smoking, quits lying, quits stealing, treats his neighbor right, good to the wife, or her good to her husband. The same way man or woman, the believer, he has to come into a place where he has to quit all of his meanness, which is through the blood with sanctification. He is called to a new life, and he walks in there. He don't have to walk by that light out there. He's got a better light. He's walking by the light of seven golden candlesticks, which is burning olive oil. And the olive oil was representing the Holy Spirit. The fire was the baptism which baptized you, even baptized out, in there with the Holy Spirit, but you're not hid away yet. You're not behind the veil. In other words, walking in the light of those seven candlesticks, of the light of those seven candlesticks, you're not behind the veil yet. He writes on the left, olive oil equals Holy Spirit. And next to that paragraph, a Star of David on the left. Here he is. He's walking in these seven golden candlesticks. There is many light, much light in there. But there is days when them lights get dull. There is days when the lamps smoke, and the light is not so good. There is times when them lights have to be relit again, and you have to borrow a little from the neighbor to light one candle to the other one. It's still not a good light. We are thankful for it, but it's still not the right light. Oh, brother, see it? It's still not the right light. You say, brother, I've spoken tongues. I've shouted. Good, wonderful. But let me tell you something different. All right, he's walking in this light. It's an artificial light. It's not the light of the sun, the light of the moon, the stars. The man in the justified courts, when night comes, he has a very dim light. Just the stars and maybe a pale moon. A lot of flying clouds. He's in an awful fix. But the man up here at the altar who keeps himself under consecration and say, Lord, I am going to live right by you. I'm the deacon in the church or something another. I'm going to live good to my neighbor. I'm going to try my best to do better, Lord. Well, he's living in a better light. His light seldom go out, but they do smoke up, and they have to light one from the other. But the man who walks beyond that and goes in, when the world is shut off, when the veil drops around him, down under the locking of the wings of the cherubim, the great Shekinah glory hangs under there. It never goes dim. Never. He writes, cherubim. It never went out. And the man who lives in the presence of God under the veil lives in the Shekinah glory. I don't care if the storm are raging, whether the clouds or the moons don't shine, or the stars don't shine, and he writes messengers, whether the candlesticks goes out, and he writes seven angels, that doesn't matter. Then he writes churches. He is living in the Shekinah glory of God, under the power of the Holy Ghost. On the left, towards the top, he writes, most holy place, the glory of the Shekinah. And notice, he writes, here on the right upward, in three sentences, the moon, dash, the church, the stars, equals the seven angels, the seven candlesticks, equals the seven ages, the cherubim, equals Moses and Elijah, the angel of Jesus. The moon, the church, the stars, the seven angels, the seven candlesticks, the seven ages, The cherubim equals Moses and Elijah, the angel of Jesus. It didn't go out at night. It didn't go out. It's kind of a mystic light, kind of a soft glowing light. And the believer, at rest, walks around the inside veil, the Shekinah glory, where the pot of manna was, where he eats daily, never give out. He eats from the manna. Now, if it was in the time of the dispensation of grace, taking the supper unworthily, that is the Holy Communion, Paul says, he who eats the supper unworthily, let us see how it was. Eats damnation to himself. That was under the dispensation of grace. Let us see. In Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Now before he said, show all these things till he comes, he writes there, until the second coming of Christ. Now, if that was under the dispensation of grace, in the dispensation of the kingdom, which is the hidden manna, whoever eats of that manna unworthily, he would be eating damnation to himself. Now everything is magnified. The Shekinah glory, where the pot of manna was, where he eat daily, never give out. He eat from the manna. Oh my, he had not a worry in the world. Everything was taken care of. God was over him, listening to him praise and answering his prayer. Not only that, but he is living right in the presence of the King, God, in the Shekinah glory. And he draws a cornerstone and the ages on the left, and on the right he writes, King, Revelation 19:11-19. Every time anything would start up like that, it couldn't get to him. He wouldn't listen to it. He couldn't. The shines of the world was on the outside. Now, notice, Dr. William Soto goes on to say here, therefore, the pillar of fire, the same light that delivered the Hebrew people and brought them to the promised land, is the same light, the pillar of fire, Christ, the angel of the covenant, the one who will be manifested in the midst of his church, and will prepare us, and he will transform us, and will take us with him to the marriage supper of the Lamb before the great tribulation begins. In the message, why cry? There he tells us, on page 9, the Reverend William Branham tells us, he says, I think any man, or woman, boy or girl, and I think in an intellectual conception of what they think the word is, and so forth, never can have a full foundation stand until they have met that light that brings that word to a reality. In other words, not to only have the letter, but also the fulfillment of that letter. And he writes on the right, the light. And notice on the left, he also writes, the light, to meet it, brings the word to a reality. The light, to meet it, brings the word to a reality. I think no church in its practice, no matter how intellectual and fundamental it might be, that church cannot thrive until the supernatural is made known among that people, and they see it. Something that they can talk to, that will talk back to them, that vindicates this written word. Now remember, when Moses met the burning bush, that word was vindicated exactly. It was the word. Moses didn't have to worry, what's this voice all about? What is this being here? Because God had already wrote on the scripture in Genesis that your people will sojourn in this strange land, but they'll be brought back after 400 years. We'll come back into this country again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet fulfilled. There on the left, he draws the pillar of fire and a cornerstone and the ages. In other words, what Moses was seeing there is what was being given to Abraham by God in Genesis. Notice, it was there to be quickened. That word in which the people would be delivered. There he was seeing the scripture being fulfilled. God fulfilling his word. Now, hundreds and hundreds of years before, God has said that Israel would sojourn and be mistreated in a strange country and would stay there 400 years. But God with his mighty hand would bring them out. So you see, with this burning bush, Moses knows this intellectually. And the seed that was born in him was laying in his heart. And he tried through his intellectual experience with the word, tried to bring them out, to deliver them. Because he knows he was born for that purpose. He knows that, the time. The scripture all said that they had already been there 400 years. Just as we know now, as a man asked me a few moments ago about the coming and the rapture. We know. We've lived the time out, and the time of rapture is at hand, and we're looking for a rapturing faith that can pull the church together and give it some supernatural strength, that can change these bodies that we live in. Notice, all of that is before the tribulation. When we see a God that can raise the dead off the floor or out of the yard and bring him back to life again and present him before us, when we see a God who can take cancer that's eat a man to a shadow and raise him up to a strong, healthy man, that ought to give rapturing faith to the people. That when that light flashes from the sky, and there he writes above, the second coming opened in the heavenly age. When that light flashes from the sky and the trumpet sounds, the body of Christ will be quickly gathered together and changed in a moment and taken into heavens. And there he writes on the left, when the light flashes, rapturing faith. And he draws a cornerstone and the ages. Yes, there's got to be something like that happened. And our schools of theology can never produce that. Yet they intellectually are all right. But you've got to meet that light. Then he writes, the pillar of fire. Now notice how Brother Branham, in that vision that he narrates of the tenth vision, he met it. He identified where the pillar of fire would be. Well, what we had to do is look for that place that he saw. And there, automatically, you will find the pillar of fire. You will find what he saw. And he writes above the pillar of fire. You've got to find that something. He draws a cornerstone and the ages on the left. And here, Moses, basing his great call upon the word, and it was great, until one day he met the light. And the very word itself spoke back to him. Then he got his anointing. That anointed what he had in him, that on the inside, the intellect that believed it, the faith that was based upon his believing God, that separated him from his mother. And now when he strikes in the presence of this light, it anointed that he believed. And now when he strikes in the presence of this light, it anointed that he believed. There on the right he writes, anointed upon striking in the light. See what an anointing, and he was commissioned. Now we know intellectually he had heard his mother. And he writes, bride. He knew what was going to take place, and he knew he was living in that day. But here he found out that he was a failure. So, he might have, his faith might have dropped back a little bit, but then when he comes to the bush, God said, I have heard the cries of my people, and I remember my promise to their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I have come down. And there, the personal pronoun, I have come down to deliver them. And he writes on the right, Revelation 10, 1 to 11, which is the coming of the mighty angel. Now, notice that he made a separation, like in the beginning. When that light comes, that is what it does. It makes and carries out a separation. Notice on this same message, there is a man here who can turn on the light. On page 11, the Reverend William Branham says, and I believe that's God's way of doing things. He, in the Bible, the next verse says, the fourth verse says, and he separated the light from the darkness. Back then, when he was going to deliver the Hebrew people, he was to separate them, notice, from that bondage. Although, notice, all sort of people came out there. It was a separation. They were separated from bondage. But all kinds of people came out there. Everyone came out. They were mixed there. There was a bit of everything. But notice, that separation took place along the way. When the earth opened and swallowed them up, there, a large group. Then when we see the angel killing many as well, when Moses and Aaron had to run to intercede for the people and to stop that killing there as well, see? Then also, in the time of Joshua, there will always be a separation. Now he continues to say, and he separated the light from the darkness. And the light he called day, and the darkness he called night. And God's word always separates light from darkness, see? It's the word that does the separating, see? Light from darkness. God ever does the same thing. When he gets ready to use anything, like he got ready to use this old star, or whatever it was, this world, he had to separate the light from the darkness. When he gets ready to use a group of people, he has to separate the light from the darkness. When he gets ready to use an individual, he separates the light from the darkness. See? Light? That is the angel that the book of quotations speaks to us about in that portion, who comes to bring the separation, the segregation between right and wrong. He says, and only one person can carry out that work. He says, the angel of the Lord. He can say what is right and what is wrong. Paragraph, so you can have it there. 1260 of the Book of Quotations, page 141. He separates the light from the darkness. See? Light comes by God. And the three dots. Remember, the light come by His spoken word. The word of God said, let there be light, when there was no light. And He sent the light to separate the darkness from the light. This word of command cleared the sky so the sun could shine in. And His word today is what clears back all the atmospheres of unbelief. He separates the unbelievers. Now notice also what He says. Let us see here in the message, the ages. on page 234. Here it would be 259 in Spanish. It says, the way that he separates them, he says, after, where it begins, is a very big, very long paragraph. But already towards the end of that paragraph, where it says, then after the fire of God fell on the Ohio River in Jeffersonville, Indiana, United States of America, in 1933, I'm reading which page? 256 in Spanish, ending that paragraph. A healing revival swept the world, but it never came through any organization. God went outside the Pentecostal groups, outside of organizations, and what He is going to do in the future is going to be outside organizations too. And He writes there above organizations too, that is going to be outside organizations too. He writes, He separates, or rather, it will be through a prophet. It will be through a prophet, what He will do in the future. And He draws a little cornerstone on the left. It will be through a prophet. God can't work through the dead. He can only work through the living members. Those living members are outside of Babylon. Now, Dr. William Soto goes on to say here, therefore, we will have the light, Christ, the angel of the covenant, the word manifested in the midst of His church, guiding His church. Now there are some who don't want to be led by the Holy Spirit. And it says here on page 36 of this message, God's only provided place of worship, He says, Moses was in Him, Joshua was in Him, and if you are in Him, you was in Him before the foundation of the world, the family of God. You suffered with Him, you died with Him, you went to the cross with Him, you raised with Him, and now you're still with Him, sitting in heavenly places, reflecting the message of the age to the world, the light of the world. Ye are the light of the world. But if it is hid by a denominational bushel basket, how are they going to see it? For your traditions, you make the light of no effect. By trying, you denominationals, trying to keep the light away from your church, you won't go in, neither will you let them. Now, there on the front, he writes, you won't go in, neither will you let them. He writes, the evening light, the door. You won't go in, neither will you let them. In this same message, there's a man here that can turn on the light. On page 26, there he tells us, could you imagine a sensible person doing that? No more than I can imagine a sensible person running down in the basement and getting the most and pulling his door together and say, I refuse to see there is a light. It's insanity. And his spiritual has slipped somewhere. When a man sees that the Bible has promised this and see it living right out before him and made manifest, and then continually stays in those creeds and things out there that rejected, it's a spiritual delinquency. That's exactly right. Notice, it's like when a person can see what God is fulfilling at this time, of which was said that in the great tent cathedral, the teaching would be given, preaching. The rapturing faith would be given. And despite looking at that in front of their eyes, they refused to see it. And he says, it's like going into the basement and saying, I refuse to see that there is a light. That is, I refuse to see that. I'm not going to believe it. That can't be. He says, it's a spiritual delinquency. There he writes on the right, a spiritual delinquency. A person who thinks like that. Now notice in the writing, he writes right here, on the back he writes, he who rejects the light is a delinquent. And he writes before God. Notice how God considers a person who rejects the light. He says, he's a delinquent before God. And in between parentheses, he writes, he is crazy. He who rejects the light is a delinquent before God. He is crazy. That is why when he said to them, what you don't understand now, you will understand later on. You can't say right off the bat, I don't believe that. You should say, there are some things I don't understand, and I'm praying to God to open my understanding, to open the scriptures to me. Now notice in this same message as well, on paragraph 154, at the end, let us see here, from paragraph 154, this is a very important message. There is a man here who can turn on the light. Paragraph 154 says, now a little minority come out of that Lutheran revival. Then come along the Wesley revival. And then in that, why, they couldn't go back and do the Lutherans, see? And then along come the Pentecostals. And then the Pentecostals organize and done the same thing, taking the husk. Notice, but the grain goes right on. Now we're in another age. Their brother William draws a little cornerstone on top. Why won't they receive it? Why won't they see that the grain is matured? There on the left, he draws a cornerstone and the ages. He draws a Star of David, and he also writes upward, we are in another age. Here is the promised word for this day. Why don't they see it? Because they are living in a Lutheran glare, Wesleyan glare, Baptist glare, Pentecostal glare. They're living in the glare of another light. That's the reason they can't receive the light of the total word being a vindicated as God promised. Them seven seals, where the whole mystery was revealed, would come back and tell why these mysteries was done like that. And yet, when that comes in, they walk further away from it than ever. They're without excuse. There won't be any excuses. God had done it through Spirit, through revelation. He proved it perfectly by scientific and everything else. That is the truth. That is the truth. And still, they want to live in a Pentecostal glare. There on the right, he draws a candlestick with seven lamps. I am the assemblies, I am the oneness, I am the church of God, I am this. See, living in a glare of an age 40, 50 years ago. Living in a Lutheran glare. Living in a Wesley, a Baptist, a Presbyterian, or some Nazarene. Glare of another church age that went on and organized and done the same thing. And refuse and reject the light when it's actually shining, and you're living in a mirage. I say that reverently, see, but you're not to hurt you, but to wake you up. You're living in a mirage. What if Jesus said, why you're blind and you're leading the blind? They couldn't. He tried to tell them and didn't do it. Let them alone. If the blind leads the blind, they'll fall in the ditch. That's the hour I've come to. If they're going to stagger, I can't help it. Done all I can do. I've done exactly. I've done this at your command, Lord. You're a witness. Since 1933, down on the river, when that light there you see shine down, it's been right here in the tabernacle and witnessed to you all these years. And everything it said had come to pass. And continually they go on. Let the blind lead the blind. I'll just wait for that hour. He'll arrive one of these days. That hour? The hour of his coming. Now, notice here. He also wrote to us, let us see. On the back, notice he wrote, why did they reject the light? Because they never searched the scripture. And the creed has blinded them. Why did they reject the light? Because they never searched the scripture. And the creed has blinded them. And there is also another writing here which says, he will deceive the very elect if possible. And he writes above, deceives with the glares. With the mirror, with the mirages. Now, Dr. William Soto continues to say here where we paused. Therefore, we will have the light, Christ, the angel of the covenant, the word manifested in the midst of his church, guiding his church, to receive our transformation, which will be to physically enter the promised land of the new body, as we have entered the promised land of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we have obtained the theophanic heavenly body from the sixth dimension. In the message, the serpent's seed, notice he tells us on page 5 on this message, why would Paul command that after it has been done? Paul said, even if an angel from heaven come and preach anything else, let him be accursed. Now you say, we got new light on it. No, you haven't. That's what the devil come to Eve with. Some new light. You don't need no new light. You need to walk in the light that God has already put here. And he writes, the evening light came so that one can walk in the light in the morning. The evening light came so that one can walk in that light in the morning. Did not he say on page 119, paragraph 1058, that he came and brought his message? He says that his message would be a platform, the foundation, for someone else to stand on it. In other words, it is under the message of the Reverend William Branham. In other words, it is that platform. It is that foundation. Because the way he said the second coming would be fulfilled, that is how God would fulfill it. In other words, it's upon that platform, that message. He said this message would introduce Jesus Christ to the world. Now notice here in the message Shalom, he tells us on page 20, remember that we are in this study of the only light of the last day. And the only light is the light of the Shekinah. It is God himself. Page 20. He tells us in the message, Shalom, this was on January 12th. He also preached it on the 19th. But in this one from January 12, 64, he says, the Reverend William Branham says, it's breaking day, church. It's darkness upon the people, but it's God's morning to the church. Christ is appearing among us. There he draws a Star of David on the right, and above it's breaking, he writes, the dispensation of the kingdom. Shalom, peace. Hallelujah, shalom. when we see darkness settling, darkness just before day, and he writes, of the eighth day, seventh millennium or millennium. We know that the morning star, and he writes, Moses and Elijah, messengers of the east. We know that the morning star is hanging yonder to introduce the coming sun. And above sun, he writes, Christ. And on the right, he draws a star of David. And he writes towards the top, the morning star. And some scriptures. That's when the morning star shines. It's the going between. It's always darkest just a few minutes before day. The blackout comes. The moon fails to shine. And he writes, church. A few minutes before day, that's when he says, when that persecution comes, don't get scared. There's a light, see? That light would then come. The darkest before day is because the light is pressing the darkness. But the morning star comes out and says, good morning, shalom. And there he draws Star of David on the left. That's him among us. His word being identified, shalom. The great day is fixing to break. When the morning breaks, eternal brings a fair and above great day, he writes, eighth day, the 50th year of Jubilee, when his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the sky, when the roll is called up yonder, and he writes, the book of redemption, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. And he writes, the book of redemption, and he continues, and it is opened, and the name is called. What we spoke about this morning. And the name is called. When your name is called, and I will answer. Here I am, present. When the roll call is called up yonder, because there's a place in the ages where he says that there is a roll call in the rapture. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Our names are on his book. We'll be there. You say, I'll be there. In other words, you shouldn't be afraid to say that. I'll be there. Me. I'll be there. And my name will be called. I'll hear my name. And I'll answer to my name. Here I am present. I followed that light. I was led by that light. And here I am, Lord. Thank you for allowing me to follow that light. And now here I am at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Page, let's see, 300 on this one. Let's see where is that. It would be 300. I brought with me the red one, which pages are different, but let us see here, where it begins, the paragraph starts more or less, if it is in Spanish 318, in English 285, in English. This book here, The Ages, page 285. Check it out in where it says, it's the paragraph what it says, thus the grain of wheat that became a plant for the harvest. Because here he talks about the tares being gathered. Oh well, then it is over here, 285. But notice this part here as well. Since we read that little part there, go back just a bit where it says, it begins, thus the grain of wheat that became, that paragraph. A bit further down, the ecumenical move will bind the tear churches together, for the tares must be bound first, and though their end is burning, they are not burnt at their binding, but are reserved to a later date, which is at the end of the 1,000 years, or the second resurrection. But once the tares are bound, the rapture can take place. Now that is done, notice, and does so at some time between the binding and the revelation of Antichrist. And there he writes, the rapture after the tares are bound. Then will come the day when all stand together, as seen in Daniel. The king will be there with his bride, and in front of them will be the multitudes who are to be judged. Yes, all are there. All the books are opened. A final disposition of all is made. The harvest is indeed over. The books, once opened, are closed. And there he writes, the judgment equals the spiritual one after the seventh age. Remember that it was said that the days of Ananias and Sapphira would return. Now further down is where he says, the great shepherd is calling his sheep by name, by their individual names. This is an individual matter, see? The creative voice of God is calling them forth from the dust or changing their atoms, even though they have not fallen asleep. It is the rapture. It is the great marriage supper of the Lamb and His bride. But the rapture is not the only roll call. There at the second resurrection, at the great white throne judgment, will names be confessed before the Father and His angels. Now, I have been told by those who know that the sweetest sound to a human ear is the sound of that person's name. How people love to have their names before the public. There is where he writes, there is a roll call in the rapture. And on the right he writes, resurrection, transformation, and rapture. And on the right he also writes, the supper. Now notice, if there is a roll call, that is because there are names there. Now remember a place where he had left a writing that there were people against it. Let me see if I can find it. I think it was even included in a study. But notice, it wasn't spoken on that occasion, but it was even crossed out. So that it wouldn't, that is, not the original one, of course. Here I found it. Remember that Brother Branham, when he was traveling in his vehicle, which was when he had the accident, he said things there, and he said that someone close to him was going to betray him and all those things. And he said that he was going to preach about the serpent's trail. He also said that he was going to expose names as well. Notice that is the ministry of Elijah. But notice, anyone may say, no, but how can he? Well, if you have nothing to hide, then why? And you didn't do anything during that time, well, why should you be afraid? You're not supposed to be scared, because this entire time if you haven't done anything against the fulfillment of the tenth vision, let us say, because they're in the writing, he says, be strongly united in the spiritual nourishment. Be strongly united in the soul, spirit, and body. If you have it, I don't know if you have it. Well, if not, I'll send it to you here. So you can see where I crossed out or on the computer. I don't know if you found it yet. Because one could say, what are you so afraid of? Well, I didn't write that. He wrote that. Look, actually, I'm treating you well by not exposing those names yet. And anyone might say, start to accuse. No, he's going to expose names. But I haven't even done anything. I'm reading that, just as he wrote it there. But he knows this for a fact, because he said there that, notice, I know. Look, that is his handwriting. I know there are people who are against the tent of the Great Tent Cathedral, or opposed, people opposed, that is. I know there are people who are opposed to the Great Tent Cathedral. I confirm that that is true, and he writes names there, and he says, and more people from another country that are against it, and who disagree the project of the Great Tent Cathedral, and he writes, of the construction. They disagree with the project of the Great Tent Cathedral, which includes the construction of a Great Tent Cathedral in Calle, Puerto Rico. I was not rebellious against the heavenly vision. And everything there that we already discussed this in a study, but now notice he knew it for a fact, because surely they told him themselves. And he kept quiet, let's say. He kept giving them enough rope. Because he would also tell me, look, they are against it. Or they want to do this and this, so that the tent is not fulfilled in Calle, Puerto Rico. In other words, this isn't something new. It is religious jealousy, which has been around since the beginning. Now, the word, in a message, he said that there isn't even a need to mention them. The word itself will take care of that. Now, let us continue here on page 21 of the book, Message Shalom. He says, the darkness is separating itself from the light. God's causing it. The light's doing it. See? The light expressing itself in such a way onto the darkness has to congregate together. They had a chance to accept it and they wouldn't do it. So it's condensed itself. And they do that by putting the church together and the council of churches and uniting it with the pagan darkness when they so firmly disagree with one another. But yet, they had to go together to make the night come upon the people. Isaiah 61 says, arise and shine, for the light is come to you. And above that he writes, in the eighth day in the morning. Rise and shine, the light has come. The word light is vindicated again. The light vindicated again, God's word, so that you can see God manifested in his promise of the light of the day, or the word given to this age, see? These promises that's made for this day, these promises that was said by the prophets and by Jesus himself, in this day, God in sundry times, Hebrews 1, God in sundry time, in diverse manners spake to their fathers through the prophets, but in this last day, through his Son, Jesus Christ, see? The great light that hung in the wilderness, which was that Moses forsook Egypt, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater treasures than that of Egypt. The same one that met Saul on the road down to Damascus, a great light hung before him, that same light, same pillar of fire. And he writes, the pillar of fire on the right. Saul, being a Hebrew, would never worship any spirit or anything, or call it Lord in the position he was in. He said, Lord, who are you? He said, I'm Jesus. Jesus said, I come from God and I go to God. That same light has come. To what? To manifest, to make known to the people the promises that he's made for this day. Manifested light of the day. The darkness is darkened. And manifested light of the day, he draws Star of David on the right. And he writes, the light and the darkness on the left. When he come, he was the light of the day. There was supposed to come a Messiah. And he came just exactly like God said he did, would come. And when he did, what was he? The light of the day. And he pressed the darkness so against him. Is that right? He had to give his life that the light continue, could shine. Here in the bottom part, he writes, Fourth Elijah equals the evening light of the eighth day. Fifth Elijah and Second Moses equals the morning light of the eighth day. He was the light of the day. But why? Why was he the light of the day? He was the vindicated word that had been spoken, made manifest. And he writes, flesh, that is made flesh. And on top he writes, the light equals the word manifested. God said over this dark, gloomy, dismal, mossy world that stood here without light, he said, let there be light. And he draws Star of David and he writes, let there be light. And it wasn't light until that word was manifested. Then it was light. He said, there will come a Savior, a Messiah. It still wasn't manifested until he come to manifest that promise. And when he vindicated that promise, he said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they that testify of me. They said, we know not whence thou comest. We are Moses' disciples. Classic. He said, if you were Moses' disciple, you would know me, for Moses wrote of me. See? He was the manifestation. He was the vindication of the spoken word of God by Moses. He draws a Star of David on the left and he writes, the vindication equals the fulfillment. It is the light of the day. The vindication equals the fulfillment. It is the light of the day. And today that we're now living in, God has come on the scene to vindicate and prove His promises. So, it's the light of the hour, so we can rise and shine. The light shines upon us again today. The Word is being made manifest. It's the light. Now notice in this message, titled, The Oneness of the Ministers in the Age of the Cornerstone, preached on November 8th of 2014 in Guatemala, Dr. William Soto says, the greatest awakening, the greatest spiritual revival is promised to the Church Bride of the Lord Jesus Christ for the end time. And with that revival, which Christ will produce manifested at the last day, speaking to us with that thundering voice as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, who will give us the faith to be transformed and taken with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb. That will be the light that will come. There will be a light that will take the Church Bride away. That is what we read on page 119. That is what we also read in the other message where he quoted it. Now look, let us stop here, pause here, and let us turn to page 12 of this message, Shalom. Same message we were reading a few minutes ago. He says on page 12, now the other day, we've had in the event of the history of the church. Now, in the Bible, the moon represents the church, and the sun represents Christ. And he writes, moon, sun. For we find that in Revelation, the 12th chapter, the woman, which was the church, she was found with the moon under her feet, and the sun at her head, 12 stars in her crown, which the old Orthodox Jewish law was under her feet. She had crossed over that into the light of the sun. 12 stars are the 12 apostles that brought us the message to us, now under the Holy Spirit. Now we find that the moon in the heavens is to reflect the light of the sun. In the absence of the sun, it gives us light to get around. But it's still, no matter how much it reflects, it's still not the perfect light, because it is reflecting, and the sun shines against the moon, and the moon reflects its light in the absence of the sun. But the sun comes up, the moon is not needed no more. And he writes above the church, and he draws a Star of David on the left, and he also writes towards the top, that which is perfect is the light of the sun. And today the church is reflecting the light of the absent Son of God. The church is a reflection of the light, because he said, a little while and the world see me no more, yet ye shall see me, for I will be with you, even in you, to the end of the age. The works that I do, light that he made manifest, and there is no light except through the Word of God. There he writes, there is no light except through the Word. There is no light except through the Word, the light of the eighth day. That sun is the Word of God. He draws Star of David to the left there. In the beginning God said, let there be light. And when the manifested Word of God, when the Word of God was manifested, there was light. First, God spoke it. What if it didn't manifest? Then it wasn't light yet. But when He spoke it, and then it was manifested, vindicated, His Word was a vindicated, light coming to existence. And that's the only way it can be done now, is when the Word is vindicated. And He writes, fulfilled. God's written word vindicated, then it shows light. It's a portion is lit. There he writes, the light equals is the word fulfilled. It's lit or put out for each age. We find it in the church ages. We find it in the Old Testament church ages. Each time that there come a time for a certain manifestation of the journey, there was a prophet come to the earth, and the word came to the prophet, and he made that word live. And when that word was identified, it reflected God. And there was the age, and there was the light, and that's the way light comes today. And he drew a Star of David there on the right. And he also draws a cornerstone there as well. Upward, that is, the drawing is going upward, a cornerstone. Now, Dr. William Soto goes on to say here, now, let us see paragraph 1054 of the Book of Quotations. And there he quotes it. When this persecution comes, don't get scared. There is a light said he would catch his people away. Notice, in a writing he left us here, a white eagle catches away. A light will rapture us. Now, we have already been seeing who that light is. Notice, that also is in the Book of Quotations. There's a portion there. On the last page or around the last pages. Let us see if it is the one of before the one with numbered letters. 170, let us see. where he speaks about the eagles, about the wings. That was around the month of November. I thought the excerpt was there, but here it's 167. And 168. It's on 1496, and also 1494. He speaks to us about those wings of that message of preached by the Reverend William Branham on the wings of a snow-white dove. There in that, look, in 1494 at the bottom of that paragraph, and I raise back like this, my bare shoulders, naked from my waist up, hot. I look back, and there was wrote in the quartz, in the stone, white eagle. Just exactly what the vision said that the next message would come forth by. I was so excited, I run home, got a camera, and come back the next day, and took the picture of it. It was still there, wrote in the rock, white eagle, dove, and he writes, Holy Spirit, H.S., leading eagle, and he writes, prophet. It is by a prophet, that is, by the ministries of Moses and Elijah. In the message, what shall I do with Jesus called Christ? On page 29, the Reverend William Branham tells us here, Eve caused all physical death by trying to inject some heresy of Satan into the Word. And that's the same thing that happened to the church at Nicaea, Rome, by taking dogmas instead of the Word. That's the same thing in the Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, as the light springs forth in each age and they turn it down. That's the reason the Lutheran died when Wesley rose up. It was in another age. The Word come forth and they had to accept it or die. One of the two. Either you accept it or die. In other words, there are no lukewarm terms. I am more or less there. That is, you can't be lukewarm. There he writes on the left, the light equals is life. And on the right, he writes, Eve fell twice. And they had to accept it or die. That's the reason that the Pentecostals are dying now, because the age is here. The Word has been made manifest. The eagle time. There he draws a cornerstone and the ages, and the seventh age and an arrow towards the cornerstone. The time of the Word to return back, to restore the faith of the fathers back to the children again. And they're so united, they turn it down, and they ain't nothing but spiritual death. At always, God's body united as His bride, being one, Him and Christ together, is the Spirit working in the flesh of the church like it worked in the flesh of Jesus Christ, because it's part of His body, not twine but one. They are one. A husband and wife is no longer two but one. And Christ and His body is one. And the same Spirit was in Christ is in His bride, in His body, that unites them together with all the Word, and God living there, Himself, manifesting it. And He draws a cornerstone on the right and the ages. Now, Dr. William Soto goes on to say here, the Word manifested at the last day, the Word veiled and revealed through human flesh, speaking to His church, will give that faith to be transformed and taken with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb. The word veiled and revealed is what would give the rapturing faith to the elect. Now notice here in this message why Christ speak on page 22. The Reverend William Branham says, that's what Jesus said, see? It's blasphemy when you see it doing the very works that Christ did. And he said, when they seen that works in Christ, he was the sacrifice. And they called him Beelzebub, a devil, for because he was doing it. And now they say, he said, I'll forgive you for that. But when the Holy Ghost come to do the same thing, you speak a word against it, it'll never be forgiven you in this world or the world to come, see? Just one word is all you have to say against it, see? And then, because if that life, if you've been ordained to eternal life, then that life would burst forth when you see it. You would recognize it, like the little woman at the well, and the different ones. There on the left he writes, blasphemy equals to speak against it. That's a blasphemy. For those who don't know it, when you speak against something that you don't believe in and you speak against it, that is blasphemy. Like the little woman at the well. And he writes, the Samaritan woman. And the different ones. But if it's not there, it can't come to life. For there is nothing there to come to life with. In other words, they cannot come to life. It cannot spring up to life when that word is spoken. Because it falls there on a ground that doesn't bring forth anything because there is no life there. In other words, it can't germinate. Therefore, it is a dead ground. See? As my old mother used to say, you can't get blood from a turnip because there is no blood in it. Now that's the same thing. And it paralyzes what little faith you have got. Lot could see the glamour, but he didn't have enough faith to see the fire that would destroy such a glamour. And he writes there, the predestinated one will see the light. He who is not predestinated won't be able to see the light. But he who is predestinated will indeed be able to see the light. He does see it. He does identify it. In the message, the unveiling of God, notice he also tells us here, on page 37, he says, this also speaks about what we read some minutes ago. Whoever sees the light and refuses, and he goes into abasement because he refuses to see the light, here he says something similar to that. He says, now, what if a fellow refuses to see the sun and say, oh, there, I know God said let there be light, but there is no such a thing. I'm going down in the basement. I just refuse to see it. The guy is crazy. There is something wrong with him. There is something wrong with a man or woman can see the promise of God, sees what God promised, see the promise of God right on their noses and see it manifested and then refuse to believe it because the denomination pulls the veil down. See? Veiled. There he writes, whoever doesn't want to see the light is crazy. He is in the fifth dimension. Notice where that person who refuses to see the light is. Whoever doesn't want to see the light is crazy. He is in the fifth dimension. In order to do this, our denomination traditional veils must be broke by God's spirit of fire and sword, which is His word. Always His word is His sword, see? And He took His sword that day full of fire and ripped that veil from top to bottom. He does the same thing with the same sword today. Not my creed, my book of creeds, my catechism, But the sword of the Lord, see, rips the veil down, and you see God standing in plain view. I remember when he sat there in the seals, and I saw him standing there. It's in the... See if it's the sixth seal, or the fourth seal. I saw him standing there, he said, "Sir, I can't tell you." That's one of the places. But where he says, "I saw him standing," search for the word standing and it will pop up right away. I saw him standing there. Let us see the sixth seal. Page 448. Something happened today, and I seen something come up. He circles something. Something come up. And he circles something. I saw something come up, and he circles something again. Come up as well. And I just couldn't get my breath anymore, see? There, he circles it and writes next to it, Moses. Was standing there, that little light, standing right there. And here it was. I know it's the truth. Now notice, when the veil is ripped, what he says there. But the sword of the Lord, see, rips the veil, and you see God standing in plain view. Manifested in His Word. What a glorious view to look at. See? All right. God's Holy Spirit and fire, His sword rips it. The Word rips the denominational veil. Well, if you just said, the Word and the Word don't work, what good would the sword be here and say, it can't rip? Say, oh, and it won't rip? But when you lay that sword of God up there and watch her rip, she is held by an ordained hand sent to do so. And he draws a Star of David to the left and he writes, the sword. See, rips it open, and there he is. There it shows God plainly in view, the great Jehovah. That is his word made manifest, the portion that's promised to the day. Do you get it? See, when the sword promise of today, in this day, what's supposed to be, and God takes his sword and rips down the denominational veil and pulls it back and manifests himself and shows that he is there, still that same pillar of fire. Notice, that is the word made manifest for today's promises. Now, Dr. William Soto goes on to say here, where we paused, and that is connected to the tenth vision. Let us read a bit before that so you can see. Whoever is reading there can follow along. The word manifested at the last day, the word veiled and revealed by human flesh, speaking to his church, will give that faith to be transformed and taken with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And that is connected to the tenth vision, because it's the third pool emerging at the last day, in the midst of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking to us with a thundering voice, speaking to us as a lion, when he changes from lamb to lion. If it is veiled and revealed through human flesh, then what would the church bride be seeing in the fulfillment of the tenth vision? Well, a human being speaking the word, bringing the word. And by that time, it will be too late for mankind. In the message, escape hither, come quickly. He tells us on page 13, the Reverend William Branham says here, how I love that parable of the virgin. You know the old coal oil lamp we used to have. We never had light till just recently. And look here, the oil is in the bottom of the lamp, and there's a wick that draws it up. Now that wick has been a special made piece of material, and the fire come on the end of that wick. And now notice, you couldn't put a pipe down in there and it would draw it up. It won't come through iron made, man made things. It only comes through God's provided way, and the wicked's faith. And the only thing that can pull the Holy Spirit into a light is the Holy Ghost itself. See? And he writes, come through God's provided way. Now, in the tent, the fulfillment of the tent vision is my way. That's how it has to be fulfilled. If it isn't God's provided way, well, then it's useless. It doesn't matter what you're thinking, he says. Or there is a saying that says, exactly the way you think it is, that's how it's not. There he draws a cornerstone on the left and the edges. And when you got your faith, one end of it on fire for the glory of God and the other dipped into God's Holy Ghost oil, there is going to be a shiny light just as certain as I am standing in this pulpit. That's right. But what if you got it down in oil mixed with water? You know what will it do? It'll sputter. That's what's the matter with the lamps today of many. They're sputtering. It makes carbon over the top of it. And you have to rise and trim your lamps. And if there ever was a time that lamps ought to be trimmed, is right now. Hasten, go hither, for I can't do nothing till you come thither. If there is a time for that, brethren, it is this time. This is the time to trim them. Now, notice, Dr. William Soto goes on to say on this other message, titled Time to Know the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, May 17, 2002, in Medellin, Colombia, Dr. William Soto says, and now, he has been in the midst of the Church of Jesus Christ the whole time. And for this end time, after the seven angel messengers, he has to appear in the midst of the Church of Jesus Christ in human flesh, as the angel appeared in human flesh and known by the name of Jesus. And he was the one who sat on the throne of God in heaven. In the message, the Feast of the Trumpets, which is an excerpt that is here in the book of quotations, so that you have the page there as well. Page 128 from paragraph 1141. Here in the Feast of the Trumpets is page 16. He says, the Word made flesh is the light of the age when you see it, and the Bible said so. And there in the excerpt, he writes, the light is the Word made flesh. He wrote it on top. And here in the book, in the booklet, he writes, the light of the age. Now, Dr. William Soto goes on to say here, now Christ says, and he that overcomes and keeps my works unto the end, to him I'll give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as I have received of my Father, even as I have received of my Father. That is in Revelation chapter 2, verse 26 to 27. And now, Christ is going to give the overcomer power over the nations, just as Christ received it from the Father when he sat on the Father's throne, because the power is always on the throne, for the one who sits on the throne. And now, Christ says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. The same thing that the Father did with Jesus, now Jesus does it with the overcomer, with his angel. None of the apostles, or the angel messengers of the seven ages, none of them received power over the nations while being alive here in human flesh. None of the messengers who have come to this planet Earth and whom God has already taken, none of them received power over the nations while they were alive. Now look, in the message, Why Christ Speak, he also tells us there on page 21 of this message, he says, let me repeat that so it won't be misunderstood. Women today, they want to act like the movie stars. The men today wants to act like the television comedians. The preachers today seem to want to make their churches like some modernistic lodge of some sort, membership and so forth. They see the possibility of maybe becoming a bishop or general overseer or something like that if they will go along with the church, forsaking the scriptures when it's laying right before them with truly vindicated by the power of God and by the living word of God living in the people. Yet, they don't want it. They say, we don't want to get mixed up with something like that. It would take their fellowship card. It would take their denominational order. Yet honest men like Lot, sitting down in Sodom, knowing that that's wrong. See? What do they do when they do that? They paralyze the little faith that they did have. It can't work. There he writes, they forsake the vindicated scripture. Now Moses gave way to that, and he said his faith paralyzed the world. His faith paralyzes the glory of the world, or the glory of the world paralyzes his faith. That is why he said of that overcomer that he is the one who overcomes. And he says, overcomes what? That is why he's going to give him that position. Notice he says on page 140 of the seals, we all know as Christians that God swore to David that he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne and give him an everlasting kingdom here on the earth. He did it. And Jesus said, he that overcomes. And Brother Branham interjects and says, the Antichrist and all the things of the world shall sit with me on my throne, as I have overcome and I have sit down on my Father's throne. See? Now someday he rises from the Father's throne and goes to take his own throne. Now he comes forth to call his subjects. How is he going to claim them? He's already got the book of redemption in his hand. Glory. And there he writes on the left, the throne of the Father, the throne of the Son. And also on the right upwards, he writes, the overcomers. They sit on his throne, the church and Israel. Now, also here, let us see where he shows us something here in this same message. There's a man here that can turn on the light on page 17. It says, notice, he was the Word made light or became light. The Word in that generation, he was the Word light of that generation, because the prophets of old had spoke of him. And here he come and vindicated he was the light of God's spoken word. See? All the prophets had said had been fulfilled in him. See? The prophets back here with the word. Like when God at the beginning, when he said, let there be light, and light came. Now the prophet said, a virgin shall conceive, bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, for it will be God with us. Now they had spoken it. The word had went out, but he was the light. What was he? The fulfillment. Hallelujah. He was the fulfillment of that word. He was the manifestation of that word. So it is today. At the bottom there, he writes, the light of the word is the Word made flesh. The light of the Word is the Word made flesh. So it is today. God's Word has been fulfilled at the hour. That's the light. It's God manifesting Himself. He was the light of the world. And a bit further on, he goes on to say, so it is in every age. The Word made manifest, come to life, is the light of that age. There the Word made manifest, just like it was in Genesis 1 when God said, let there be light, and there was light. When God said there will be a sun, and there was a sun. When God said in Joel 2:28, it shall come to pass in the last days, I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Upon my handmaid and maid servants will I pour out of my Spirit. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall see dreams. And all the things that he promised when it, the Holy Ghost, fell, was the light upon that word. And he writes, the prophetic word fulfilled is the light of that hour. The prophetic word fulfilled is the light of that hour. When the word was made manifest, then it became light. He is the light. He is the light that we should follow. He is the only light. The angels found the light and followed it to him. And above that, he writes, the manifestation of the word of a prophet in another is the light. The manifestation of the word of a prophet in another is the light. Now, Dr. William Soto goes on to say here, but Christ will give power over the nations to the last messenger, who is the angel of Jesus Christ, while being in his earthly ministry, and he will adopt him. He will transform his body, glorify him, and he will have a glorified body, just like the glorified body of our beloved Lord Jesus Christ. And with that glorified body, he will sit with Christ on his throne, just like the one who sat with the Father on his throne in heaven had a glorified body. Now, to sit on the throne of David with Christ, the one who will sit with Christ on his throne will need to have a glorified body, and the angel of the Lord Jesus Christ will obtain that. And now, notice how the same thing that the Father did with Jesus, his Son, Jesus Christ does with his angel, because the angel of Jesus Christ is a son of Jesus Christ. He is a member of the Church of Jesus Christ who at the last day will be in human flesh in the midst of the Church, making known to us all these things which must shortly come to pass. And that's the last prophet messenger that Christ will use. Notice in the message, Christ is revealed in his own word on page 34. He says, this is an excerpt, let us see, it is here on page 160 of the Book of Quotations. To have it here at hand, it is from the paragraph, I'm going to read to you, it's from paragraph 1428. It says, and this evening light, and this evening light, of course, the great light will come when Jesus himself will be manifested here on earth, or up in the heavens. And he writes, H of the cornerstone. He wrote it above that, taking away his bride, and then the millennium will be set in. And there on the right, he draws a cornerstone and the ages. Here in the Book of Quotations, he writes above, the millennium, the great light. He also writes, the thunders and the plagues, which is what he's going to say later on here. And on the right upward, he also writes, the great light will come. And then the millennium will set in. And he writes the millennium here on the booklet. But we've got one of the most dreadful times to go through that ever laid before human beings. And I'm just waiting for the hour. And when we can get, everybody can get a chance where you get off from work and spend a few days, and we can get set up somewhere where I can speak of those plagues and things that's to fall in the days. Here in the book of quotations, there on the left he writes, tenth, on the left, and he writes, the thunders reveal the plagues. In the days, it's in the last days, and things that's to fall in the last days, and throw about 2 or 3 weeks together and bring that together. If the Lord let me live to do it and will inspire me to do so, see how those things, and he writes the plagues. I'm reading in the booklet there on the paragraph of the book of quotations. See how those things will be dropped in and those thunders. And he writes here on the booklet, on the left, the thunders and the plagues. And he draws a Star of David. Now notice what happens. Let us pause there a moment. When that was going to be done, when that begins, look on page 17 of the message, the God of this evil age. Page 17 says, the doctors take instruments and try to find what's wrong. They can't do it. We can't tell. But then the Holy Spirit comes out and reveals what he is and exposes him. See? That's what the Word of God is. It is a light that shines in darkness. And when you take, and he writes here, a noise in the room, it sounds mysterious, a bunch of something working, and you don't know what it is. Turn on the light. That is what God did at this time. He turned on the light. And now, he says, turn on the light. Quickly, crickets, roaches, they are the children of the darkness. There on the bottom, he writes, turn on the light and you'll see the children of darkness scattering away. A scattering. There's a common saying that says, let's get out of here. A scattering. And on the left, on the right, he writes, crickets, roaches, children of darkness. And when the light flashes, they scattered away. They went out from us because they wasn't of us. As simple as that. The Bible said, see, they cannot live in the light of the world, for the God of heaven has sent his light in these last days, that he might lighten the path for his children, that they might not walk in darkness and stumble, but they might walk in the light of the shining of Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And there he draws a cornerstone on the left and the ages. Then he writes, the light. Or light. He wrote light. Now, he goes on to say here, well, we paused. He says, then you'll find out what that man and them people have been dreaming about. And all these things here, it'll come to pass. See? You'll notice what them revealed, that great thunder, a coming forth out of the skies. Now, of course, the whole bunch of you, you know that I know what that that means, you see? And, but let's just wait till the time comes, you see? For it to be, see? Now, and it'll be more in season. Now he continues here. There in the book of quotations at the bottom he writes, the thunders and the plagues. And at the back there is a writing where he says, the great light that shall come will be Jesus Christ. The great light that shall come will be Jesus Christ. Now he goes on to say here, following that portion that is there in the book of quotations, here in the booklet, he goes on to say, now, so we are going to read some of these scriptures in here. Now, in the evening light come, now we notice that it'll have to be the same light that was in the morning. And he writes 50 Elijah. And he draws a star of David on the left. Because there is no one sun in the morning and another sun in the afternoon. It's the same sun. Same sun that is in the afternoon. And he writes Elijah. It is the morning. The afternoon sun will be the morning sun. It's the same sun. Same sun that's in the afternoon is in the morning. The same in the morning as in the afternoon. Now, it said, the day itself, the day between that time, will be kind of like a dismal dark day. Could not be called day or night in between that. See, that's the forming of the body from the feet coming up. When he was here on earth, he was the sun, the likeness. And he writes, the body of flesh. Then he was killed. The church took his place, the martyrdom, and went through the dark ages and began to build on the foundation coming out. Then where does the sight come from? At the top of the head. See that vision, Nebuchadnezzar? See him going down from the beginning of the Gentile age, before the blood was shed for them and made an atonement. They were proselytes brought in. But notice, he went right down, right down, right down to the bottom in symbol, see, brought it down. Then it started right back, coming back. The church come back from the feet, coming up. Now, it is in the head time. Head time. And he draws a cornerstone. And he also writes on the right, covenant, and a cornerstone and the ages. Now, in the message, there's a man here that can turn on the light. Let us see there another place on page 48. It says, he is the light, the truth, the light, and there is no darkness in him. And he scattered the darkness when he comes in, because he is the Word. The Word is the light. That's right. Because he spoke and said, let there be light. That was the Word that become light. When he speaks this, it's the light of that age, each time. Now, he is here. In not in a glare, but people are living in a glare. But he is in the vindicated Word. He is absolutely the light in the time of darkness. Yes, sir. All these false glares and things will fade away. Yes, sir. He is here. Don't fear. Turn on the lights. His promised Word, it lives. There he writes, the electric current equals the promised fulfilled. It makes, he that believeth in me, the works that I do, ye do also. Then it is the Word. As the Father sent me, so sent I you. The Father that sent him, come in him. The Jesus that sends you, comes in you. And the works that he did then, he does the same thing. Because why? The Word is made flesh, in human flesh. Manifests itself as the light of the day. There we are, there it is. It's justice showing the way to light, in the light. And he draws a cornerstone and the ages on the right. Wise men who are not blinded by creeds and denominations will walk in that light. There he writes on the left, the Word made flesh is the light. Oh my! There's a man here who can turn on the lights. All right. What does he do? By vindicating his Word for this day. Jesus, the Son of God, who promised the Word for this day, is right here with us. Don't get scared. Don't pay any attention to what they are doing. Don't pay any attention to what they're doing. You do, you walk in darkness. Be wise. They that do wise, Daniel said, in these last days will do exploits for their God. See? They'll walk in the light as he is in the light. They'll walk in the light as he is in the light. In this message, he also tells us something there. Conduct, order, and doctrine, which is Hebrews part 3. Here is on the booklet, page 38. There he tells us, but when you're born again, then the light of God shines down into that soul. When what? When you're born again. When you're born again. Hallelujah. Then it's no more a dark valley, but it's a valley with a shadow in it. You may be veiled here with the flesh and the thing over our face, but there is enough light in there. And someday, that light and darkness has to separate. And when the light shines, darkness flees. And when we go to be with Christ in that body, darkness and death vanishes. And we burst out into perfect light. Glory to God. There we are. No more sickness, no more dark mixed with it. Now, Dr. William Soto goes on to say here, and with the ministry that Christ will operate in that messenger, Christ will complete his program in his church, and with the Hebrew people, and Christ will introduce the glorious millennial kingdom when the time comes, and he will sit him with him on his throne. But before, when Christ, there's a place which says, when you see. He says, Billy, or when you see Joseph or Billy, something like that. That's in the back, in the pages with letters. Page 7b, paragraph 61. He says, when I see that great ransomed church of God come together as one great unit, I'll close up the book. Then I'll pass it back to my son Joseph and say, Billy, carry it on, son. My other children, my sons, move on now and just stay that way. The millennium will be on when that takes place. And above he writes, Joseph and Billy and the millennium. Thinks of his program. There is a Jose and a Billy here, like a Joseph and Billy here. Therefore, the millennium, my brethren, the millennium is on its way. There is a Jose and a Billy, and he is my brother, just as we are yours, your brothers. That is the true family of God. Now he goes on to say, but first, when Christ rises from the Father's throne, which will be when the number of God's elect is completed, which will be completed under the ministry of the angel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice here in the writing as well, on page 15 of this notebook, it says, the cornerstone, and in the evening time, the mystical body of Christ is completed in the west, where he manifests the great light, Christ, who would come to his church in his last revelation through his angel. Now he goes on to say, and through the angel of Jesus Christ, Christ in Holy Spirit sounds the great voice of the trumpet and calls and gathers together his elect of the last day and operates the ministries of the two olive trees, Moses and Elijah, in his angel. Because the one who has ministries is the Holy Spirit, and he operates them in whomever he wants to operate them. In the message, the restoration of the bride tree, notice on page 65, he says, on this message, restoration of the bride tree, he says, prophesy, Son of Man. Can these bones live? Wish we had time. I got it wrote down here, but I have to miss that. Prophesy, can these bones live? What's the four stages of that coming forth of that church? What's the four stages of Ezekiel's dry bones coming forth? But the life only come, not when the sinew skin was on them, but when the wind blowed upon them. That's when come back that fourth message of life. I will restore, saith the Lord. Hallelujah, glory. Praise be to God. The fourth light is to come. This part, I think, should be in quotations. See if you can find it, the page, so you can have it there. The fourth light is to come. And where it says the fourth light is to come, he writes Elijah and Moses that will bring forth the same signs. Watch. Justification brought back the pulp. Sanctification brought back the bark, doctrine of holiness. What brought back the leaf? Pentecostals. Let us look at 68 so that you can have it there. Page 68, paragraph 592, is the portion that I'm reading here from the booklet. There, he draws there on the right. You already know about these drawings, which we have already mentioned. Both on the right and the left, he writes, light and a cornerstone and the ages. And he numbers them up to four. And on four, well, in the cornerstone. There in the book of the ages, he places there four. There he says that it is deliverance because it's the fourth stage. It says, what is it? Pentecostals, leaves, clap their hands, joy, rejoicing. Leaves clap their hands, joy, rejoicing. And he writes on the left, leaves equals to clap. Meaning everything that is claps, ta-da, ta-da, that is leaves, clapping, Pentecostals. What? The fourth was the word itself. The word made flesh. And he writes, Elijah and Moses. Fruit of the proof of the resurrection sign that Christ has finally, after justification, been planted. Sanctification been planted. Baptism of the Holy Ghost. Organizations died out, and Christ, and he writes, Elijah and Moses, has again centered himself like that cap of the pyramid. Here in the booklet, he writes, Christ at the top of the mountain. It is the fourth light, Elijah and Moses. What is the fourth light? Elijah and Moses. And Christ has again centered himself like that cap of the pyramid. First line, justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Then coming of the cap. What is it? That Holy Ghost bunch being honed out so that he can fit with the same kind of ministry he had when he went away. And he writes on the right, fourth light. That when he comes back, he'll catch the whole thing in the rapture, where the justified, sanctified, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That pyramid will stand again. The house of God will live again. The tree of life is growing again. And he writes on the right, the tree of life. Now further on, there on page 66 here in the booklet, he says, restore all the signs, the sign of Lot at the end time. We've went through that, how this angel of Jehovah made flesh among the people, sat with his back turned to the tent and said, where is Sarah thy wife? In the tent behind you. He said, I'm going to visit you. And Sarah laughed. He said, why did Sarah laugh? Her in the tent. Amen. Jesus said, it'll be the same thing at the coming. And he writes, with Moses and Elijah. And above that he writes, Elohim, like in the days of Lot, and the coming of the Lord. It'll be the same thing at the coming. Oh, then the evening light of Malachi 4 comes shining through the darkness. Amen. To bring the evening light on the predestinated word. There he writes, the angel of the Lord was made flesh, upward on the right. Hallelujah. What's the fourth message to be? What's that fourth messenger? To shine the light on the word. The word is predestinated. It has to come forth. Something has to do it, for God said, I will restore, saith the Lord, I will restore, right? The evening light comes shining through on that predestinated word. And on the left, he draws a Star of David. Yes, sir. Oh, it shall be light in the evening time. The path to glory you will surely find. In the waterway is the light today, buried in the precious name of Jesus. Young and old, repent of all your sins. The Holy Ghost will surely enter in. For the evening light have come. It is a fact that God and Christ are one. There you are, one together, one in us. The same signs human beings can't do is manifesting themselves. Come out, the Word, to bring forth the predestinated Word of God out of the roots of the tree back yonder, that all the denominations that refused and refused and refused, but there will come a light forth. Now, this is already a part which there is a portion here on 69, paragraph 593. There it says, there will come a light, will rise. Whereabouts? Over Jerusalem? No, sir. Evening light will not rise in Jerusalem. The evening light goes where? In the west. They had their day and refused it. But the evening light shall rise in the west. What for? To shine upon the word. What? To ripen the fruit. Bring forth the bride tree with the same signs and wonders and fruits that they had at the beginning. It shall be light in the evening time, right? Oh, the word will then bring forth its fruit in its season. It shall not wither, but it will bring forth its fruit, David said. There in the book of quotations, on the left in that excerpt, he writes, the sun, S-U-N, will ripen the grain in the west. And above he writes, the light in the west. And on the left, he writes, upward, the sun. And he writes, west. And a cornerstone and the ages, and an arrow towards the cornerstone. Now, Dr. William Soto continues to say here, and in the angel of Jesus Christ is where he operates those ministries at the last day. And that is why in Revelation chapter 7, only one angel appears to call and gather 144,000 Hebrews and to seal them in their foreheads. In the message, the future home of the heavenly bridegroom and the earthly bride, on page 55, there he tells us, where are we, friends? Where are we? Just waiting now to get out of the way. So, Revelation, and there he writes Moses and Elijah. So Revelation 11 can be made known to the Jews. That's right. The rapture coming. And on top he writes, Moses and Elijah, the 144,000 Jews, and the rapture. And above that he writes, the light of the top, the light of the eighth day. And here on the back there is a writing. Notice. He writes, the cornerstone equals the light of God. And above the cornerstone, he writes, the kingdom, the throne. And on top of the light of God, he writes, pillar of fire, Jose. Now, notice that writing there. How he places it. Perhaps, let us see so that you can see it. And understand how he placed it there. That part. Let us see here, so that you can have it clear. There he also draws a cornerstone on the left, and the ages. He writes, the cornerstone equals the light, God, and a comma. I don't know if you got it yet. It's just that nothing is being projected here in front. Now it is. The kingdom. On top of the cornerstone, he writes, kingdom. And he writes, the throne. Well, that's the cornerstone. And on the light, which is the pillar of fire, there he writes, Jose. Now notice how we rejoice. Here he says, but the ministries of Moses and Elijah will be in that angel, and the ministry of Jesus as well. Those ministries being operated by whom? By Jesus Christ in Holy Spirit, in his angel messenger. On page 62 of the Book of the Ages, it's on page 62, where it says, the day is coming soon. The fig tree has put forth her buds. The Israelites are waiting for their Messiah. They're expecting him, and their expectations are about to be fulfilled. Israel will be reborn spiritually for her light and her life, and he writes there, Moses and Elijah, are about to reveal to her. Now, in the message, Shalom, let us see here a place on page 20. Let us see here. On page 16. Look, he says, the Bible said that he is the Word. And the manifested or the vindicated Scripture, and he writes, made flesh today, is the light. Now you not be permitted to do it when this takes a hold. And we seen it foreshadowed, told by inspiration before it happened, foreshadowed by the moon, and shows it happening. And here it is taking place. And he draws on the left a Star of David. The hour is upon us. Darkness grows darkness. Grows darkness on the people now. That's what it is. What does it all mean? Where are we standing? What hour are we in? How close are we to the coming? Well, you say, when all they have a revival. Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good will to give you the kingdom. All right. What does it mean? God has begun to separate the light from the darkness, see? Pressing it behind, like he did in the beginning, to show the dawn of a new day. And he writes, 8th day. And he draws Star of David on the right. And he writes upward, a new day equals the dispensation of the kingdom. The church ages are fading out. Pardon me. The church ages are fading out. God is pressing the darkness into a place. It has to do it to fade out the church organizations, fade out the world. The world is covering the thing over, and worldlism has took the whole thing. Then, isn't God right? By worldly things and worldly dressing and worldly acting and worldly living, is the world. Ye are not of the world, little children. You are of heaven. This is not your home. And he drew a Star of David and a cornerstone in the ages. Why should I look to us older people, try to look back and get young again? We can't do that. But we're looking forward, not looking back. Looking here, what has been, and we want to know what's going to be. And we're looking for that hour, pressing for it. And he writes the 8th hour. In other words, looking to the future, not looking at what's in the present. What's in the present is temporary. Rather, looking to secure that future, looking to that goal. So many good, sincere people today are caught away in these creeds, these churches and organizations, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, as 2 Timothy 3rd chapter says so. Gross darkness, blinding of Israel, was for the lightening of the Gentiles. Now the blinding of the Gentiles is the lightening of Israel. And he writes, the blinding of Israel, the blinding of the Gentiles. It's just like the day and night. One side has got darkness, the other side has got light, and then the light comes over on the other side. So the moon, passing the way it did, and the reflection of the darkness of the world binding out its light, is a reflection to us that the Gentile church age is finished. The church is making herself ready, being making herself ready for a time. It's time for the rapture, for darkness is fading upon the Gentiles, and dawn will soon break upon the Jews. The sun has traveled from the east to the west. The light can only do one thing, go back east, on the other side. You understand? Do you? The light can only go back east again, to where it began at, Israel. God blinded them for a while, but the darkness now is pressing upon the Gentiles' world. That's covered the whole thing. The Gentiles will trot down Jerusalem until the Gentile dispensation will be finished. Jesus said so. And now it's finished. Gross darkness upon the people. God reflecting it in the skies as He has shown it on earth before it all happens. And further down He says, what is light? The vindicated spoken word of God. Outside of that, there is no light. See? You can't lighten the earth with flashlights. It takes God's word that's made manifest, the sun. And He draws a Star of David on the left, and below He writes, light equals the word fulfilled, incarnate. Light, the word fulfilled, incarnate. Now, look in the unveiling of God, is where He tells us there, on page 18. But since Pentecost, since the crucifixion, when that veil was rent from the top to the bottom for that generation, Jesus was that God veiled. And when He died at Calvary, God sent fire and lightning and ripped that veil from top to bottom, that the whole mercy seat was in plain view. But they were too blind to see it. There He writes, God sent fire, lightning, etc. to rip the veil. As Moses said here, Paul said, reading of Moses, when Moses is read yet, that veil is still on their heart. Oh, brother, sister, that's what the Jews did when the veil was rent and brought God into plain view, hanging on the cross. And He was in plain view, but they couldn't see it. And the same thing will happen again with the veil ripped, will be in plain view, Revelation 11. Could it be possible that the Gentiles had did the same thing? Oh, God. He writes there, in the second coming, the Gentiles do the same thing that the Jews did in the first coming. When they've had the church ages of the Son of God. But when now the veil of these denominations and things, this veil of traditions that we've got since Pentecost, when the church tradition has been rent, the things that the people said, days of miracles is past and these things. And God has took the veil off of it and brought it in plain view, and they're ready to crucify it again. Just exactly like. And above He writes, they will crucify Him again. The unveiled God, plain view. They should have seen Him standing there. Yet, He was too common. He was an ordinary man. They couldn't see it. See, there stood a man. Well, they said, this guy, what school did he come from? But remember, when that spirit struck his body, that spirit left him. The temple. The sacrifices blocks turned over and the lightning whipped down through the temple and rent the veil. What was it? There was their God hanging on Calvary, and they were too blind to see it. Brought Him in open view, and still they don't see it. They are blinded, God veiled in a human being. And there on the left, He draws Star of David. Now notice, here in the writing, there He tells us on a sheet of paper, He writes, a word is a thought expressed. It is the light expressed for that day. The Bible is the source of all wisdom and hope. When we see Jesus in Elijah, Moses. When they see Jesus in the promised word being fulfilled today. Now, Dr. William Soto goes on to say here, it is through his angel messenger that he will be making known to us all these things, which must shortly come to pass. And he will be revealing to us the mystery of the seventh seal, and he will be preparing us to be transformed and taken with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb. In the message, Christ is revealed in his own word. Let us see here where it is. There he tells us. Here it is. On page 37. He tells us. So we see the evening light is here. And what does it do to have light if you don't have an eye to see how to get around in it? What is the evening light? The light comes on to reveal something. Is that right? If there is something here you feel and you can't understand what it is in the darkness, then turn the light on. It's to reveal. There he draws Star of David on the left. What's Malachi 4 to do? See? Do the same thing. What was the opening of the seven seals to do? Were all these denominations staggering around in this? Is to reveal, bring out. If you haven't got any eye, then what's the use to reveal? He drew a Star of David on the right. There has to be eyes first to see. And those ministries have to be there in order to see. Is that right? To reveal Malachi 4, reveal St. Luke 17:30, John 14:12, and also John 15:24, 16:13, and to also reveal Revelation 10:1-7. In other words, Revelation 10 from 1 to 7. The opening of the seven seals and the seventh angel's message to open up to reveal when the evening lights come. And on the left he writes, in the west. And there he writes upward, the light comes on to reveal something. The light comes on to reveal something. Now on this message, notice the coming of the Messiah. There he says, I appreciate and I am very grateful for everything you are doing for the important project of the Great Tent Cathedral, where we expect to have the visit of the two olive trees. Where did he indicate to the people that the people will have the visit of the two olive trees? In a Great Tent Cathedral, where we expect to have the visit of the two olive trees. That was in January 2nd, 2010, here in Puerto Rico. The ministries of Moses and Elijah, and the ministry of Jesus, because they are the ministries promised for the end time, for the last day, and it's under those ministries that God will be working. And if the ministries, he says there, will be in a Great Tent Cathedral, then there he must have an instrument where the Holy Spirit would be operating those ministries of Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. Now notice in this message, looking away to Jesus, he says in this message, let us see here. On page 5, he says, and if Christ lives in me, and he writes, the word, the logos, the works of Christ, you'll do, right? It's got to be. And what is Christ? The word. He said, if ye abide in me, my word in you, then ask what you will. It'll be done. Because the word is there. Just need the light. And the light makes it live. Now notice, here in the writing, he left us there. If ye abide in me, my word in you, then ask what you will. It'll be done. Because the word there just needs the light. And the light makes it live. The third pool. That is the third pool. What makes it live? The light. And the Reverend William Branham saw the light speaking to somebody above him. Therefore, he saw the pillar of fire making that promise live, bringing it to life in the fulfillment of the 10th vision. On this message, there's a man here that can turn on the light. He also tells us on page 45. Let us see. Here on page 45, what he wrote to us, which is on 54. Let us read that portion there. Page 45 says, and today when we're talking about Methodist, Baptist, and Presbyterian, Chief Mechanic is here, the designer of his word, the man who created the heavens and the earth and designed his church. Does he know more about what it takes for the rapture, or does the Methodist or Baptist church know more about what it takes? He is the designer. He knows what it takes. He is well dressed in the power of his resurrection. Hallelujah. He is walking among us today in the power of his resurrection. He knows. And he writes above the thunders. He knows what it takes to put a church in rapture order. He knows how to do it. He designed it and put the parts together here in the Bible. Amen. Just let the current flow through it. Now watch it operate. Let faith in his promised word of today flows through. You see how it operates. Why? He designed the thing. He designed his church by the word. That's what he puts together. Not by Methodist or Baptist or Presbyterian or Pentecostal organization, but by his word. Yes, sir. Get out of them glares. Get out of them glares. And he writes, God in flesh, resurrected. And he writes, rapturing faith. And he also writes, the glares. In the midst of darkness, this dark time that we're living in now. Just got about 5 minutes more left. I just have about two or three left as well. A few minutes. We're wrapping up already. In the midst of darkness, who is going to bring the little bride out? Who knows about it? The chief designer. Oh yeah, from all this confusion of glare. Now he writes below there, who is going to bring the little bride out of the midst of the glares? And on the back, in a writing, he writes, there is a man here who can turn on the light. He can rapture that church. Behold a man who can turn on the light and who can rapture that church. Dr. William Soto goes on to say here, he says, where we expect to have the visit from the two olive trees, the ministries of Moses and Elijah, and the ministry of Jesus, because those are the ministries promised for the end time, for the last day. And under these ministries is where God will be working, and the people who know their God and by God's wisdom knows God's plans will be working in favor of that project. We have seen the only light of the last day. We have been traveling, navigating through all those deep waters, from here to there, from there to here, seeing everything, perhaps briefly, about everything entailed in the light of God from the beginning until our time. How he has worked and how he has been in the midst of the human race, carrying out his program, and at this end time, we have identified that light. We have seen it. And we have been in action together with the light, which is the pillar of fire in the midst of his church, carrying out what he promised. We can sing a song. I don't know if Sharon is around there, and if she has it prepared. The song, I Give You My Soul. A song that God gave me. And we recorded it for the blessing of the people. And notice how, while she gets ready, let us stand. And in this way, we can stretch a bit. Notice in this message, the Feast of the Trumpets, he tells us something very important there. On page 41, he says, O Father, if there is a person here this morning that just taken some superstition, some theological influence, or some theologian's word which is contrary to the word of God, and they don't know the real Christ, the real Holy Spirit, it isn't revealed to them the word yet, how the word is to be in this day. They only see a tradition. They living in a light that's blinding. Like the greatest robbery that was ever done in the world was in England. It was done by a false light. And the greatest robbery your church has ever had has been when they taken a denominational light and refused the genuine light of the Bible, the Christ. O God, be merciful. Save the lost, Lord. Please, I ask you a little while longer, Jesus. And there he writes, a little while longer. Now, that is the prophet interceding. I ask just a little while longer, Jesus. We got loved ones. Just a little while longer. Soon that great rock will be, there he writes, hewed, cut out. Hewed out of the mountain. And he writes, the stone cut out of the mountain. Now notice he, when he said, I have children. It was in the dream, I think, that Billy Paul had. When he saw that rock rolling, coming. And he said, don't look, turn your heads. And he says, I have children. Notice, because one always think on our family members, and may God have mercy of them, of our family members. I give you my soul. Let's sing this song.
Sobrar, quita toda duda, confías en mí, sin limitación.
Notice in the message, perfect strength by perfect weakness. Brother Branham says there, we don't need a new organization. What we need, O God, I feel it pouring in around through here now. What we need is a prophet of God to rise up with a thunderbolt of God. Spiritual lightning, thou shake this world to shame. And he writes, a prophet with a thunderbolt. Hallelujah. Empty vessels is what he needs. That's right. A called out church, a little minority, thou receive God's power and blessings and his message. Hallelujah. That's what we need. Get weak so you can get strong. You'll conquer every devil. You'll put the learned to shame. You'll bring men and women who God has called, and that only. Remember, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the coming of the Son of Man. And he writes, with Moses and Elijah. And he writes, Moses and Elijah, Revelation 11. Eight souls were saved. In the days of Elijah, there were 7,000 only had it. Oh, just think of where we're living now. When John come on the scene, the little church was certainly in the minority. But there was empty vessels to pour the oil in. Hallelujah. God, let us empty ourselves up. Get empty, friends. Get weak. Deny your own ability. And you out in radio, not radio, but out in that hear these tapes, where they come, empty yourselves out. Today we can say where my voice reaches. Empty yourselves out. Pour yourselves out upon God's altar as a sacrifice. Let the angels come, and he writes, Revelation 10, 1-6. Let the angel come with a coal of fire, fill that vessel with the power of Almighty God. Then he'll make you strong. He'll give you grace to stand. Allow him, you who are listening to me, allow that mighty angel who is in the midst of the church to touch your soul. To touch your heart. And that with that burning coal of fire, may he touch your entire life and make you strong and give you grace to stand firm until the transformation. Let us continue singing. I give you my soul. But not with the things of the world, but instead, remove everything. And may you pour yourself into me, Lord.
Señor, lo que soy, lo pongo a tus pies. Vida, mi aliento, dame de tu ser, me rindo en tu altar, dame de tu fe, para ser usado todo tu poder, entrego mi alma. Llénala de paz, para que en tus manos tú puedas obrar. quita toda duda de mi corazón y fluyas en mí sin limitación. Con mis manos levantadas yo confirmo mi fe en tu obra de reclamo como rey. Con mis manos levantadas yo confirmo mi fe que recibo tu venida como rey. Entrego mi alma, llénala de paz, para que en tus manos tú puedas obrar. Quita toda duda de mi corazón y fluyas en mí. Y fluyas en mí sin limitación. Y fluyas en mí.
Without limitations. That is what we want for Him to work in our lives. And we can say to Him, Lord, well, fill me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill my being. Fill me with your pillar of fire, with the Shekinah. It is no longer cloven tongues, but pillars of fire in the elect. Fill my soul. We can sing that song. Fill my soul with your Holy Spirit. Fill my soul with your Holy Spirit. We are worshiping God, praising Him. May He receive this worship. And may He sees a sincere, honest people. And if there is doubt or any unbelief, may He remove it. He is our Father who moves to compassion because of our weaknesses. Therefore, ask of Him. Cry out to Him. Speak the word and He will answer you.
Quiero nacer en tu reino en esta dispensación. Dame de tu poder, lléname con tu unción, oh mi reclamador. Lléname con tu espíritu en el alma. He recibido como mi reclamador, testifico con mi fe en esta confesión, oh mi reclamador. Eres mi Señor, eres mi doctor, eres mi José, mi reclamador.
Yes, Lord.
Llena mi alma con tu Espíritu Santo. palabra se haga carne en mí. Que tu poder se manifieste en mí. Llena mi alma con tu Espíritu Santo. Llena mi alma con tu salvación. Que tu palabra se haga carne en mí. Que tu poder se manifieste en mí.
Notice in the message, there's a man here that can turn on the light, which we have been reading from. He, on page 63 at the end, he says, now remember, let it be known that I'm speaking nothing against the people in these glares, but I've proved it to the Bible that they are glares. If he wasn't, Christ would be doing like he promised to do with them, see? He writes, marriages. But they refuse that, see? And when you get there, what do you find? A join the church, receive a creed. And what does it come out? Come to the end of the road, you'll find out it was a false marriage. Christ is the Word. He is the light. Live now while you can live. He draws a cornerstone and the ages, and the arrow towards the cornerstone, and also towards the seventh ages. You live for something. What are you living for? So you can die. Every one of you, what are you working for? To eat. What are you eating for? To live. What are you living for? To die. So why not live to live? Why not live to live? Then the only way you can live is accept the Word. Because men shall not live by bread alone, what we make out here with the sweat of our brow, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now, the word of the mouth of God is being vindicated right here before us by the Holy Spirit. Live by it, won't you? And he draws a cornerstone and the ages and a star of David inside of it. Now, that is the part and the stage where we can live to live. In other words, we live for that goal of being transformed while being alive. We live and work and strive to remain alive until our transformation. We live in these bodies to live eternally in the glorified body. That's what living to live means. It is the only group, the only people in the world, from Genesis to Revelation, the only people who will live to live. It is us. It's you and me. Fill me, Lord, to continue living. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill my soul, Lord.
Lléname con tu espíritu en el alma. Quiero nacer en tu reino en esta dispensación. Dame de tu poder, lléname con tu unción, oh, y reclamador. Lléname con tu espíritu en el alma. He recibido como mi doctor eres mi José, mi reclamador. Llena mi alma con tu Espíritu Santo, llena mi alma con tu sanción, que tu palabra se haga carne en mí, que tu poder se manifieste en mí. Llena mi alma con tu Espíritu Santo, llena mi alma con tu santa unción, que tu palabra se haga carne en mí, que tu poder se manifieste en mí, que tu poder se manifieste en mí.
It is your claiming power. That's what he's doing at this end time, claiming what belongs to him. And you know something? You belong to him. And you won't be able to escape his grasp, no matter how much you try to run away, as many prophets did. They, notice, they had the word. They knew what they had to do. But many of them wanted to run away. Hey, where are you going? You can't. You have to do what I told you to do. Well, you know something here? That's how you are and I am. We cannot flee from the presence of the one who is calling us at this time. Some in one way, others in another. But it's the same voice. Some one way, others another. They see that light of the last day and say, "Here I am, Lord." It is the voice of the claimer. It is my claimer. We can sing that song, "My Claimer," if you have it ready. I don't know if she has to come up. I don't know if it was sung by Elenai. She came up here, Mariel. You can stay up here too and sing that song, "My Claimer." The claimer is the one who is in our midst, the one who is in the midst of his church and delivered us from all danger, which is the worst kind. That one is terrible. The spiritual one. And we have been accounted worthy of escaping those spiritual dangers where there is no turn back for whoever falls into that. My claimer.
Por digno y de estar
tu rostro contemplar. Mi alma, espíritu y cuerpo en tus manos hoy está. Mi fe está anclada en tu voz, tu mensaje y tu verdad. Mi José, tú eres mi rey. Parte de ti, por tu amor, por tu inmenso amor.
In the message, Why Are People So Tossed About? Look, there is so much to read, and there is so much for our time, which is when that word is quickened, is brought to life. He says, you want to know a little secret? That's how I conquer with animals. That's how I conquered diseases, is by love. The love of God constrains us to do such a thing. Come in the veil. Won't you today? While we bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee today for the love of God that's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Seeing our time moving on now, will You let every person that's in divine presence now, Father, come into the veil? Here is young men and women, elderly men and women, young, just little children and little adolescents. We pray, Father, that You take every one of them into the veil with Thee this morning, and so hide them in Thee, in Christ, until they'll be newborn. The hope of glory, the hope of God, will be resting in them. Now, where do we enter, and into which part of the church of the mystical body of Christ and of the spiritual temple of God do we enter at this time? Into the most holy place. Therefore, there is where the new birth takes place. And when the trials of the enemy comes up, you'll be so far away outside the veil, they don't even hear it. You'll be so far away outside the veil. In other words, those trials. They'll just only see Jesus living in His Shekinah glory, living in His blessings where this halo of light that's now in the tabernacle, which is now in the great tent cathedral, let it dwell in every heart. He says that that light whirled away and flew above. That same light is here today. Today is the reality of that vision, of that dream. Do you believe it, brother? That's thus saith the Lord. Father, may it come away from just an intellectual or from looking at it on a picture or even seeing it with their natural eye. In other words, oh, what we have seen in the scripture, in the portions that were spoken, saying that the pillar of fire would be in the great tent cathedral. He says, may it come away from just being intellectual. He says, may it come into their heart, Lord, and there may it abide. If the pillar of fire was seen, whirled away and entered into that little room, don't you think that it'll also enter the little wooden room of each son and daughter of God? Of course it does. He didn't just visit that place. He visited your place, there. There in that seat you are in. There where you are. Where this satellite broadcast reaches. in Africa, in Sweden, Australia, in every place of the planet Earth where my voice is heard. He says that the third pool is a stage where by eye and by ear, it will be seen and heard worldwide. So wherever you are, don't you worry that you're not here. You're seeing as if you were here. You're hearing as if you were here. Well, there, God is visiting you. God is in that little wooden room, your soul. Lord, and there may it abide. And they live in that presence of God, which yields every day a fruitful and blessed life for the Lord Jesus. Won't you grant it, Father? Of course, because that was a promise, and God is faithful to fulfill it. My claimer. Blessed be the Lord. Your name be praised, Lord.
Tú eres mi rey, mi Señor, mi reclamador. Digno soy de ser parte de ti. Por tu amor, por tu inmenso amor.
It is because of your love. It is because of your immense love that I am worthy to stand before the Son of Man today. Today we're not in a marriage. We're not in a glare. We are in the reality. We are in the fulfillment. We are in one of the activities. Do you know what that means? We are in one of the activities that will lead to that activity that God allowed the Reverend William Branham to be in. And we have the blessing of being in all of them from the first day. May God allow us to be in every one of them. God, Lord, give strength to your people. And give encouragement to the weak. And may they reach their transformations in these bodies. We know that there is a number left to be completed. Because until the last one arrives there, which we know, we already know who that last one is. But before that last one, there will be a few, some. But we desire, look, what I long for is that there is only one left. Because if there is only one left, that means no one else will die. See? And I'm not asking for something that isn't in His Word. Because there will be one. He is the last one. But before the last one, there may be several who may still have to go. But I ask God that there be only one left. And that is asking out of love towards the elect. Because notice, that mighty army will rise. He says that in that day, Michael shall stand. Michael already stood up. Therefore, we are being prepared for that final showdown. Therefore, when one knows that one is going to battle, to war, well, one will try to have as many people as possible to stay with us for that battle. The more people stay, the more helpful they will be, because they will not be able to help from over there. But the more people stay here on earth alive, the more helpful they will be. Therefore, I'm asking correctly, may the majority of God's elect at this end time remain alive, even if they walk with a cane to reach the end. But do you know something? Perhaps that individual who arrives using a cane has a mighty voice, has the word in his mouth, and whatever he speaks will be done. Even if he arrives with aches and pains. But he has the strongest thing. He has the sword. And he has a mouth to speak. He has the most powerful thing. The title deed. That two-edged sword. Which is being placed right at this time. Therefore, we have to know how to place that word right. And that's what we are learning. And we tell the Lord, teach me, Lord. Let us also sing that song. Since we are in this singing portion, and we have already sung two or three, we can sing that one as well. I don't know if Ruth Daniela can accompany us. Come and teach me. How? How do you want me to be? In other words, you have to teach me, Lord. You have to show me what to do. Well, what is He doing? Showing us at this time how to carry out His program, His work, and to be the actors at this end time, fulfilling what He promised. Do you know that there where you're at, you're fulfilling scriptures? You're fulfilling God's prophetic word that the people at the end would be receiving the rapture in faith. Well, there you are in action. But, Brother Jose, I'm just here reading and listening and writing. Well, you are bringing that word to life, that in the end the wise would understand, and that there would be a people who would receive the rapture in faith. Well, you're in action. You are putting that word into action by doing what you are doing. Therefore, be sincere with yourself and be careful, Because even if you have the censer, notice those who had the incense back then, they had fire from the altar. But they did not know what to do with it. It is of no use to have the message if you don't know what to do with it. It would be like what happened to Aaron's son. They entered the most holy place with strange fire, which they were not commanded to bring in there, and much less at the wrong time. Therefore, we say to God, Lord, teach me, show me what you want and how you want me to be. Let us sing that song. Come and teach me. In other words, it's not that he should pour himself out limited. No, pour yourself without limitations. Just like in that message, perfect strength by perfect weakness, he said it there. And if you listen to the audio in English, you will hear the way Brother Branham said it. Page 47, it is in an excerpt in the Book of Quotations as well. Page 47, it says, come, Lord Jesus, catch away your church, and if it be your will, Lord, just before that church is raptured, may there rise power. Oh God, fill these vessels. And he writes Revelation 11, verse 3, and he writes Moses and Elijah. Fill these vessels, O God, raise them up, Lord. Shake this world once more. We know it will be past time. Notice, past the dispensation of grace. We know it will be past time. There'll be no repentance then. It'll be too far for them then. But show your power, Lord. Fill those vessels and shake this world like it's never been shook before. Take your church then. Leave the world in her chaos that she sets in. Oh God, they struggle. Then we know the great Holy Spirit will come to the Jews then. And he writes with Moses and Elijah. When we seen the 144,000 standing on Mount Sinai, standing with the Lamb, but the bride was already in heaven. She had already been took up, and the Lamb had come back, Joseph, to make himself known to his people. And the Bible said that there will be a breaking up among them when they'll look and see him stand there, when he makes himself known. And he writes Moses, and he writes Joshua in 144,000. They'll say, "Where'd you get them scars?" He said, "In the house of my friends." Then they'll say, "It was him that we crucified." And he'll say, as Joseph did, "Don't worry, because God did this to save the life of the Gentiles. It wasn't your fault." Then they said they would separate one family from the other. They would mourn like the only son would have been taken from the home. Notice that all of that is at this in time, where God is filling those vessels. And He's going to shake this world, where the Hebrew people will see that manifestation and say, "Well, this is the one we're waiting for." And thus the church bride will have, in the midst of the human race, a manifestation of the power of God without limitations. "Come and teach me, Lord. Teach me how to use this power." What power? This power. This power. This power. Teach us how to use this power, Lord, and to put it into action in each heart and in each mouth of your firstborn children, Lord, chosen by God before the foundation of the world. Come and teach me. Now he tells us that the church will mature that she would ripen at this end time. Notice on page 363, in this book of the ages, he says, the bride church will mature, and her ripeness shall be an identification with her Lord by means of the Word, and her head, who will come to her, is the mystery of godliness, which indeed is Christ, and at the top he writes, God in the flesh. And as the false church with all cunning and diabolical power made up of political force, physical force, and demons of darkness come against the true vine with the fullness of the Spirit and the Word will do the very acts of power that Jesus did. Then as she nears her headstone, becoming like Him through the Word, Jesus will come that the bride and the groom may be forever united as one. And he writes, the squeeze, the fullness. And notice what he says here. He writes, when the bride comes to maturity, the powerful acts will be found in her. Oh, how beautiful, right? When the bride comes to what? Maturity. The powerful acts will be found in her. That is, in you and in me. We thank God for these unique moments where we can have fellowship, worshiping God, hearing His Word. We can say, this won't happen again, brethren. When we leave this place, then the day is over. Whatever we did not do in this place, we're not back onto the next service. That is why we thank God for this day, that He allowed us to hear His Word, to worship God. And now we are ready to hear this subject that we have for today, the only light of the last day. Remember that everything will move progressively and by intertwining. And as that intertwine takes place, a separation is also taking place. The shakings as a child, when we would shake the trees or branches, because you won't be able to move the tree but a branch, so that the fruit would fall. Whether it was acerola or guava or avocado, or whichever fruit it was, you would shake the branch so that they would fall. Notice that's how God is shaking the bride tree. And there will be shakings where many will leave. I'm telling you, because we are in a time of separation, of segregation, and it's brought forth by the Word. But all things work together for good. We do not wish evil upon anyone. But if it is in the prophecies, what do you want me to do? Those are things that have to happen in order for the Scriptures to be fulfilled. Well, there we would be getting into the segregation that the light makes. Because if the light is there, it is because it's on. Someone turned it on. And we want to see what that light is carrying out and what that light brings forth. For some, it blinds them. The light blinds some. But for others, it opens the way, the path. Oh, now I see my eternal body there. Don't leave my sight. I've got you in focus. I have already fixed my sight on you with none other than the binoculars of the ministries of Moses and Elijah. And that will not stray from the target as long as you follow the ark, the Word, the pillar of fire. We're on the right track, brethren. We're doing very, but very well. The only light of the last day. We already know what that light of this day is. The only light of the last day. Let us leave with us our dear brother and friend,
Dr.
William Soto Santiago.